Before we start this episode, I'm going to play you a short advert from one of our sponsors. Once again, I'd like to thank Earth Angels again for sponsoring the show. It's really appreciated. And if you guys get time, please take a look at his stuff.
For most of my life, over 45 years, I have made mistakes that hurt some people, and people have hurt me. For the last 7+ years, to the best of my ability, I have loved people as much as I love myself and have been much better at not hurting and being hurt. It won't be long until my body dies, and when it does, once more I am going to be an Earth Angel and bring you infinite love. How will I bring you infinite love? Angel communications, also known as after-death communications from loved ones when your body dies. Globally, chaos, suffering, and deaths are increasing at a horrifying rate, and people need help, hope, and love more than ever. You don't have to wait until my body dies to stop fearing death and get help, hope, and love. Anyone who wants to can angel communicate with the loved ones they leave behind on Earth. Even if you don't believe me, as an insurance policy, please discuss this with your loved ones. And when your body dies and you discover the truth, let your loved ones still on Earth know that truth as soon as possible. You all have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Go to www.earthangels.earth to learn more about angel communications and how to do them for your loved ones when your body dies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Answer Podcast. Today, we are joined by Carol Sayo. How are you, Carol? You okay?
I'm really good. Thank you, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I would read out all your resume, but it seems like you've got a lot of stuff to go through. So if you want to start off by just talking to us about your background, where you're from. I'm quite happy as well. You're my first Brit, so another English person.
Oh, well, let's represent. Yeah. Okay, so I come from a very poverty background, as a lot of spiritual people do, actually. My life has been absolutely fascinating, really amazing. I've had lots of incredible experiences. So we're talking tonight about near-death experiences, but I'll put all this in a book one day. Too many amazing experiences to perhaps put in this podcast. So I took myself through education and became fascinated with paranormal and parapsychology. And then I trained somehow to be a teacher, and then I got a few degrees in psychology, psychoanalysis, and metaphysics, and been teaching and writing forensic psychology, etc., and created a whole college of the mind, which is entirely relevant to what we're going to talk about tonight. So been a busy girl.
Yeah, you sound like it. So did this all this like sort of stuff that you've been doing, did this stem from your experience?
I would say.
Or was it something that you were always interested in?
I think it was always interested in me, because when I was a very young girl, so five years old, I would say that what I look back now, I know that they were spiritual experiences. But at the time, I just remember thinking, I'm seeing, thinking, knowing stuff, hearing stuff that I also know that other people wouldn't understand. So even at the age of five, I knew that I had access to this other spiritual world, that the people that surrounded me, especially in the environment I was in, which was brutal, I knew not to tell them. And my first real spiritual experiences was when I was 7 years old, and it had to do with I don't know if you know about telekinesis, that, you know, moving objects with the mind and this kind of thing. So I was from the gate, had this. So really, this whole looking at another dimension, life outside of our body, I was already doing this before I could really speak. And so, you grow up, don't you? And then when you get to adolescence, you kind of get sucked into the world and programmed out of these extreme experiences. And that's essentially what happened for a few years, but then it hotted up.
What do you mean by when it hotted up? Like, how, what age were you sort of when you sort of realizing that this isn't like normal from what the average person, if you get what I mean, not in a horrible way, but if you understand what I mean.
Sure. I would say probably around the age of 20, I just knew so much stuff. I knew so much information that I knew I was getting it from somewhere and not here, like a higher dimension or something. So, it's people use the word belief, don't they? They've probably said it to you, or do you believe in that? And of course, people don't, if people haven't experienced it or they haven't witnessed it, then they ask you to prove it, they rubbish you, they mock you. I've had all of that. They call you insane, had all of that. But these aren't beliefs that we're talking about on, this is a near-death experience and reincarnation are not beliefs, they're experiences, real ones that people have. And I feel terribly sorry for people that have them and don't know what the heck's going on, and then go to the doctor or something. And so, one of the reasons I created the college was a whole near-death experience that I had designed all around providing a platform, a space where I teach people about the mind way beyond science, way beyond it. Provide a space really for people to discuss what we're discussing tonight.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that, because I speak to a lot of them, obviously through doing this, and they say the same. They say the same is more like they haven't had a lot of like where they go to. A lot of them feel a bit lost afterwards and don't understand quite what's happened. You can't really speak to anyone about it because people will assume that you're insane. You can't go to the doctors because they'll assume that you're going through. They'll just put you on pills if you get what I mean,
Cocktail
and
of
stuff like that.
it's horrendous, Dan. I'm very, very passionate that all the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that I've taught now, I'm very protective and passionate that everybody knows of these and ex more extraordinary. I've had much more extraordinary experiences than near death. And so, what's really interesting, though, is I was recently invited onto an academic forum at one of our main universities here in the United Kingdom, and they're just starting to discuss this kind of stuff. But they're obviously doing it from academic science, and they want proof and they want statistics. And I'm having a giggle because from the age of five, this is my world. And so, academically, I've been teaching all invisible stuff for nearly 20 years and writing books about it. For exactly what you've just said, because also some men aren't very open-minded, perhaps, to things like psychology and these experiences. But I say all the time, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But what often happens to the male mind, which is different to the male mind doesn't want to talk about it. So sometimes they'll isolate themselves and think that they're losing touch with reality, whereas I just talk all the time.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that kind of way. I've never kept anything bottled up. I can speak to anyone about anything, but I know a lot of people that can't. And I know it's quite a big thing at the minute with men's mental health, and it's a massive problem as well. It's the biggest killer for men under 40 years old.
Yeah. Well, they really should listen to what I'm teaching, because I created a lecture on the psychology of depression, which a lot of people that after they've had a near-death experience, they can feel detached. Other people around them aren't understanding what's just happened. They lose language. Their nearest and dearest think they've had some kind of midlife crisis or something. But according to our ordinary world, That's been the story, hasn't it? It's been the narrative. But if you listen to what I'm saying, and I teach from, some of the greats in some of the great writers and thinkers, and it's not a near-death experience. One of the things I say is not so we discover how to die, it's how we learn how to live. That's the whole point of us having these. And I'll just distinguish, because it might help your audience, between nearly dying and a near-death experience. So nearly dying, let's say, is when you are hurtling down the motorway and a car pulls out and you have a near miss or a bad accident and you nearly die, but you don't. But you are still within your body. Like your mind is still within your body. So that's nearly dying. A near-death experience, your mind actually comes out of your body, your consciousness comes out of your body. And so near-death experiences, classically, you often witness yourself, your body. You can be floating above your body, you could be in another dimension, you can still kind of lights and sounds, and you can look back on your life. And in my experience, that's when like the big guns turn up, the real world turns up, the spiritual world turns up, and I had a whole conversation with an angel about whether I was going to come back here or not, and it was my choice. So I don't know, was that similar to your experience?
So I've actually never had an experience. So the only reason why I started this, which I've explained before in a few other episodes, is that I was grieving for the death of my dad, and I didn't really know what to do about it. And I started listening to these stories and like getting into it. And then I was just thought I want to start my own up because to help other people, like it helped me. So that's why I've never had one. Like I always think, oh, I'd love to have one, but then I don't because the circumstances that you have to get into. To actually have one, it's not usually
Well,
not no.
I mean, you do have to be dying.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to be dying yet. I'm only 27. I've got a few more years left in me, hopefully.
These near-death experiences, they don't discriminate between gender and age. Anyone can have one at any moment. But what's great about this conversation is perhaps if I share some things about the reality of having a near-death experience, then it can help anybody that's had one or might be having one. So in my experience, and I've said I've led an incredibly spiritual life and authentic spirituality, and I'd been in an extreme situation where I was dying, and I managed to get myself to somewhere to rest in a bed, and I knew that I wasn't really in my body. I knew I wasn't. So I study states of consciousness as well. So I thought, well, this is an interesting experience because I'm laying in this bed, but I'm not sure if I'm in the bed in my body. And then the next minute, I was not in my body, but I'd say an angel. Some people would say a being. Some people would find that hard to believe, but it did happen. You see, when you leave your body, you don't actually die. Your body might die. But mentally, consciously, you don't die. Spiritually, you don't die. We can't die. We are actually immortal in that way. And I looked back at me on the bed, and somebody came in to bring a cup of tea. And they said my name, and I didn't answer because I was watching it happen like a movie. And they put the cup of tea down and then went out of the room. And the next minute, I was in full discussion with an angel who, let me tell you, he had a clipboard with all of my life on it, everything I'd said to people, everything I'd ever done. And I was very sick and broken. I was broken in every way that a person can be. And so the angel said, Carol, you've got a choice. Do you want to go back to life, back to Earth, back to the physical realm, into a broken body that's going to take you years to mend and heal? so that you can help other people? Or do you want to die? Do you want to now leave permanently and then they'll just find you dead in your bed? You know, that was, I'd say this isn't just spiritual. I'd say this is like mystical. This is other dimensional. I was very aware of it. And so, you know, if this ever happens to anybody, you need to check the small print on that contract, because once you agree to it, you can't back out of what you said to the angel. So the next few minutes, I was then back in my body, pain as it was. And the person came back in the room that brought me the cup of tea, and they said, "Oh, your tea's gotten cold." I did come in and put it down when it was hot, but you were dead to the world, was their very words. You were dead to the world. And I didn't say anything to them. I didn't say anything. And I thought, yeah, I was dead to this world. And I picked it up from there. And from that conversation is when I realized that my whole life had been leading up to these extreme and extraordinary spiritual and mystical experiences to now come back to earth and help people. And I remember saying to the angel, "How can I help anyone? I'm sick, I'm dying, I've got no energy." It was a bad place that I had to come back into. But then mystical things happened to me, and then extraordinary conversations with people on earth, and just reminded me that I'd had a choice, and I chose. And so I'm very, very excited to say that having done it for the last 20 years, I might be out of that contract by now. I might have ticked all the boxes.
Well, hopefully, yeah. So how was your like sense of feeling during this time looking over? Like, was that, were you scared? Were you?
It's very surreal, actually. It's very surreal. I mean, I personally think that any time we're in extreme degrees of pain, we do kind of leave our bodies, like leave this reality. I think my saving grace is that because I've been doing it all of my life, and because I put myself through university, I had a lot of knowledge. And so that kind of grounded me in a way. So it was surreal, but I wasn't scared. I probably was more scared to come back to life, Dan, if I'm honest. Because people around here can be scary, can't they?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because it's like when I was with my dad and he was actively dying, like, do you know what I mean? You know, when you're really ill, and obviously we've been told that he's going to die and he's got like a few days or whatever. It's funny you say that, because I remember asking him if he was scared. And then he just said the same thing. It's like, "I'm in so much pain. You don't understand. I don't care." And it must, I don't know if it's true or not. He's trying to like put on a brave face or whatever. But as you said, it must be true then.
Well, perhaps I can, you know, bring you some comfort there as well. That is exactly true. Because my body was broken. Mentally, I was broken. Emotionally, physically, I was exhausted. I couldn't even put food in my mouth. I was that sick. And, I had to kind of put myself into rehab. So I totally understand. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to discover, or for you to discover, that the minute somebody leaves their body, the physical pain goes. So that's the comfort. I've been with somebody who was dying that I loved, and it was a very extreme experience. You know, of course, you want to be there for the people you love. But on the other hand, after they've gone, you have to deal with that, and it can be traumatic. But the blessing is that for somebody to be surrounded by people they love when they leave this dimension, and come out of the physical body into just the spiritual body, the pain stops. And there is some texts that say if we're surrounded by people we love when we die, we get back to heaven sooner, which I think, it's a lovely thought.
Yeah, that's a lovely thought. Yeah. I was about to say something as well. It's like someone told me, I think I forgot, it might have been on this show. I remember they said to me that because they had their near-death experience, they say that when they know like family members who die, or not family members, like friends or whatever who die, they always say, "I don't feel sorry for the person who's died anymore. I feel sorry for the family." Because I know that the person who's died, they're in like a 10 times better place than here, 100 times better than here.
I mean, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's us that are left behind, isn't it? It's us that are left behind. I mean, I'm glad I had that experience. I also say that if you die in life, you can't die in death. And what I mean by that is, like, in my experience, so I technically died. And some people will say that, you know, they're on the operating table and it flatlines, you know, and even the doctors will say, this person just died. But then when you come back changed. You just come back changed, you do. What happened is, as I was coming out of the physical realm, so I was then in what we call the you know, out of the physical dimension, we go into first dimension is the psychic dimension, and then it gets higher in states of consciousness. But so in the physical realm, where people are then psychic and this kind of thing, the world sort of disappears, and all the pain disappears, and all that you're left with is the experience that you've had here. And then that's the conversation you have with the angel. I've heard it said that nobody dies without their permission. And I can, you know, just in my experience, I was definitely given that choice. I wasn't hallucinating. I'm an intelligent woman. You know, I was very conscious. My personality was still the same, which is, you know, quite strong-minded. But it then made sense. And then I thought, all right, you know, there's this thought that we're humans that have these odd spiritual experiences, but the reality is we're spirits having these human experiences. And when you've had a near-death experience, that really makes sense.
Oh, that gives me goosebumps, that does.
Yeah.
It's like, would you say that that, do you know what you say about the angel with the clipboard? As you say angel or being.
Yeah.
Would you think that was that judging? Was that judging you?
Well, what's interesting, because I read a lot, I've read all texts, so I'm experienced in metaphysics, which is, you know, the Bible. And if it, I'm about to launch a whole series on how that Bible isn't what people think it is. It's not a religious text, actually. But the angel with the clipboard, no, it's not judgment. They just reflected back to me my life, and it was me that had to make the judgment call. But no, higher guides, angels, spiritual beings are not sent forth to judge. They are sent here to witness. And so, but I tell you what, you wouldn't mess with it. You can feel the energy from them. You don't mess with this kind of frequency. You know it's more powerful than you. You just know it is. It's, I would say, it's the most friendly, wise person that you could possibly meet, who's not going to judge you, who's not going to tell you what to do. That's the other thing. When people hear voices and things like that, how you differentiate between one that you just want to tell to disappear and a spiritual voices are non-directional. They never tell you what to do. Not real spirits. They don't tell you what to do unless they're guiding you. And then they'll only give you one or two words. They don't speak in long sentences. So you have one word, and you said you got goosebumps, but you know, I get given one word and then I don't even know what it means. I have to look it up in the dictionary. And it's always relevant. And then you have to make sense of it. So when you're negotiating between the physical and the spiritual world, you have to become an interpreter, kind of. But no, I wouldn't say that that being, that angel that I met, I think they've got a sense of humor too, as well, I must say.
I hope so. I'll be all right then.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. What would you, could, if you could explain to the listeners as well, like sort of what would you say it looked like? Was like, because obviously people that are listening are gonna think of an angel with wings
I
and a
think
white robe.
we kind of get to choose to the capacity of how our imagination works or our exposure. So don't forget, I've been exposed to this other high frequencies for my life, throughout my life. And so the angel that I was talking to, I didn't even look up like that. I would say that if I had to guess, I don't think they were even a height as such. I think they were an energy, a mass energy, Like when I say the big guns turned up, it's just like, have you ever been next to somebody who's so powerful you can feel it kind of coming off of them? And yeah, I just knew I was in the presence of something much, much more powerful and spiritual and pure than I was.
Yeah. And when you say about, could you, I'm skipping ahead a little bit actually. No, I'm going to ask this one first. So like, what do you think then, if you turned around to him, it, and said, no, I don't want to go back there. I'm in, I'm a lot of pain. I'm a broken person, blah, blah. Where do you think you would have gone?
I think we incarnate. So I think our spirits come into our bodies with a script, a spiritual script. So on that script, you've got lessons that you've got to learn while you're here. And when people reincarnate, it's because they haven't learned all the lessons on their script. According to like our individual souls, have got a script, a lessons that we've got to learn. And so when people have near deaths or reincarnations within life, not between lives, within, it's because you haven't learned all the lessons that you come here to learn yet. And I kind of knew that. So as I'm out of my body and broken, I knew that if I said I want to go, I don't want to go back to Earth, I would have gone to another dimension, which I'll just describe as a resting dimension, where we rest for a while to get over all of what we've just experienced. And then if we've got lessons still to learn, we'll drop back down into the physical realm, be born somewhere else into another body. And so I knew from my reading, from my knowledge, and from my just like I say, that place that I just know stuff from, I knew that if I'd have said I wanted to go, I would have gone. I would have lost my consciousness attached to this world. I would have still existed spiritually somewhere else, non-physical. But I would have had to have come back at some point anyway, because I hadn't finished all of my lessons that were written on my soul, as it were, my mind. And I knew that. And so I thought, also, what a wonderful legacy, because I'm an ordinary girl, really, with extraordinary experiences. And I just thought, if I can share that with people and help people, because I'm brave enough to stand up in front of psychiatrists and professors and tell them that they've got it all wrong, you know. So I'm brave enough to do that. So it's almost as if do I want to say chosen? I was definitely spotlighted to come back here and show enormous courage and have conversations like this, but it was still my choice if I wanted to or not. And I can say that, you know, spiritually, there's this thing called unfinished business, which is all these lessons on your contract. I can honestly say that next time I leave here, next time my spirit leaves my physical body, and we call you will call it, oh, she died from here, but next time I leave here, I've finished my business, because I had the guts to come back and the courage to stand up and say, hey, people, there's a whole another world.
That's incredible. And then when you go back, because you've done your business, where do you think you go then?
Well,
Do you
of
think
course,
it's, is it like a heaven, do you think?
I think heaven's an interesting place, and I think heaven is right in front of us, actually. But most people's minds are so programmed and traumatized that we can't fathom it here. But that's what I'm actually working on now, is fathoming a level of consciousness here while I'm still alive to help other people. I think I will go back to what we people call source. So some people believe in God, some people don't believe in God, they believe in the universe or a spiritual source. So what I think we're allowed to believe what we want. So I never tell people what they must, you know. It's not my way or the highway. It's your experience. You can believe whatever you want for, according to your experiences, and your angel, you know, I've got nothing to do with that. Your guide is between you and your guide. When I eventually leave here, I know that I'll go to an ex a wonderful place of peace. I know that because I've done the work.
Wow, it's really interesting you say that. And do you think it's like, Do you think it's all, do you think it's like how everyone says, like with loved ones, they're looking down on you, they can see what you're doing, they're looking after you.
I
Do you
mean,
believe that?
if I'm honest, like I say, it's not belief, it's experience. If I'm very honest, I speak with spirits all the time. I have a joke, I mess about, they're very funny. I get information I wouldn't have gotten down here. I send up requests. I boss them about sometimes. I talk to them just like I'm talking to you. So, because of my experiences when I was little, I knew that this actually made more sense than our world here. I think we're trained out of not believing any of this stuff. And it's such a shame because there's a lot of comfort to be found in authentic spirituality.
I think it is, but then I think if we don't, if we the what the reason why they try to train us out of not to believe in this stuff is because that means they won't be able to control us.
But I think you're absolutely
Because,
right.
and it's very true. It's like you seem like you've got like a an attitude where you know you're sure you're like, do you know what I mean? You're forward thinking. It's a fuck it attitude,
It totally is.
and it's good, and it's exactly what the governments around the world hate.
You wouldn't believe we could do a whole nother hour on the opposition that I've encountered. Opposition from, they didn't want me to write my PhD at university because it was on this level of this conversation. Now, I somehow, coming from somewhere that was very uneducated, like a council estate in poverty, when you're not educated, are you lucky to be alive if you're 12 years old? To come from that, I think what I learned there though was, I won't use the F word, but you were right in what you said. I learned this, nobody's going to stop me. And I think of, I was laughing the other day, I've actually got a few superpowers, and one of them is I'm always underestimated. And even when I tell people, and men and professors and whoever, even when I say to them, don't underestimate me, they still do. But that's why it's a superpower. And then they'll say, she did what? She did what?
That's incredible. And then, so we're going to move, going to go back a little bit.
Sure.
And so you say that you can speak the spirits. Is it sort of like, would you say not a medium? Would you say you're a medium sort of thing? Like, not in a way that you're
I
not
would say
practiced.
that, so when I was about 20 and I was interested in astrology and mediumship and all the things that I mean, I'm talking this weekend at one of these spiritual conferences, and you'll see people with the crystals, and they're very into it. But then what I learned is that's actually one of the, that's a mid-frequency range of spiritual communication. So that is when people do tarot cards and forecasts, they're according to the psychic plane. And the psychic plane, actually, you have to watch it a little bit because you can have some good stuff, but you can have some rough stuff turn up. Rough spirits, rough experiences, this kind of thing. I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, but it's the truth. I kind of went even higher than the spiritual plane. So when I went up into into the cosmic consciousness, where you're not in your body at all, it's like between you and, in my understanding and experience, God. So there's no humans, there's no medium. You know everything. You know everything because your mind is so connected to that level of understanding. And then, of course, you come back here and people say, oh, you're a know-it-all. You think you know it all. And I think I'm told it all, but I'm not going to prove that. I'm not going to waste my energy proving any of this to anybody. I mean, that's one of my saving graces. I speak from pure experience, genuine, authentic experience. And the kind of kick-ass comes from my estate where I was born, but I totally navigate this world according to me and my intuition. Your intuition is where spiritual guidance comes through, by the way. So I'm practice all the time meditation, intuition. So I'm always in conversation. Can I do mediumship? Yeah, easily. But to be honest, and I mean this to downgrade things, but that is one of the lower kind of, but we're all psychic, by the way. We all can do mediumship. I could teach you, I teach it. I'm running a course at the moment on it. Not on mediumship, on much more. Like one of the classes is on mediumship, the other one is on astral projection, where you come out of your body. So, you know, I'm teaching way advanced stuff. In fact, I suppose one of my biggest challenges is 20 years ago, I was teaching this stuff and writing about it, and nobody understood it then, and they're only just starting to understand it now. So honestly, you know, like when people have painted like a great painting, they're never famous where they're, when they're alive. They never get the money for it, but it's only when they've died. And I really think that, you know, 30, 50 years after I've died, they'll pick up and they'll say, my God, she was really leading from the front. So, but when you lead from the front, I'll tell you, it's not a glamorous position. You get so much opposition from humans and from darker energies that don't want you to have these conversations, which we had a bit of electronic hiccup tonight, didn't we? I received a text, which is extraordinary, just before I came on air with you. When I was lecturing at university, the professional film crew, all of their batteries suddenly went flat. When somebody was recording me doing a house exploration, his camera didn't work. You know, when you go up into spiritual frequencies, you're on a whole nother level of Wi-Fi. You know, frazzles all of our very small world down here out. So I was born with courage. That's what I was born with.
Ah, good on you. I do believe in stuff like that. Like I was speaking to a girl called Sajik on here, and she's if you ever listen to her episode, you might find it quite interesting because she's quite like you. She can go out of her body and stuff like this. She was talking about how she thinks that she says as well. She's the same as you actually. She says source. She calls it source.
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that she said, now thinking about it. But she started saying some stuff and my laptop just completely went. It just kicked us out of the thing. And she said that she thinks that she was basically talking about the Father God and how he's very judgmental. Is someone who she sort of... And that after she started talking about that, it went...
Okay, so what's happened there is God, as I know God to be, is not judgmental at all. It's very, very loving. So all the rubbish that's written in the Bible, that's not the God that I know. That's not the one that's been speaking to me since I was five. And let me tell you, when people are particularly nasty to me, because you bet they have been, something happens to them almost straight away. And they say, did you do that, Carol? You know, are you doing some kind of heebie-jeebie spell casting or something? And I think, no, they don't understand that because I'm genuinely innocent. It's not that I don't get attacked, because I do. But I know that God is the most powerful thing. Like he created all of this. So if he's looking after me, who have I got to fear? What man do I fear? What? And also dark energies that turn up, you bet they do, they manifest. And I guess what I'd like to say to the lady you were speaking to, it's not, God is way, way above and beyond all of our stupidity of arguments and war and hatred. None of that exists. And you have to do your own homework in your mind, because when these dark energies turn up, you have to know how to navigate, because you've got to get beyond then that psychic realm that I was telling you about. And I say that enlightenment begins with endarkenment, and people then think, oh, she's from the dark side. You know, I teach forensics, I explain the dark side. But what I'm saying is, let's be real about it. There are light and dark things in our life, in our world, and also in the spiritual world. But if you go even then higher than that, so when things turn up on me, I now have a good sense of humor about it, because there's nothing more powerful than God who created me. So whether it's an energy or a spirit or a human, knows nothing in any realm. And I can only say this because I've been through hell so many times. Nothing exists in any universe or dimension that's more powerful than the God who loves me. And so And I know that from my experiences, most of which I couldn't possibly even try and put into words. And knowing that is very comforting. Because, like, if something nasty happens, I can sit back and say, oh God, could you sort that for me? And it's like, it's interesting, Dan. People then back off or disappear from my life. And if you were watching, you'd go, hey, Carol, what happened there? But only when we're having this conversation now would you be able to sort of understand, my God, that really happens. People bounce off of her. They come at her and they bounce off.
I'm your friend though, right?
Say it again.
So I'm your friend, right? So he knows that, doesn't he? So he brings me some good karma, please.
Well, karma means come back. And so what the energy we put out does come back, you see. So I think because, like, in my soul, I'm innocent. I was an innocent child. All the trauma that I sustained, I don't think I deserve, personally, I don't think I deserved any of it. But, you know, it was on my experience. It was on that clipboard to learn. So, yeah, you have to, if the spiritual people that are listening to this, and they're going to say, oh, right, know exactly what you're talking about according to mediumship and this, you know, I would say, yeah, it's all lovely, but there is more than that. There's another dimension even higher than that, which when you go up there, you're not just spiritual, you're now in mysticism, really.
So, yeah. We could go on for absolute hours, I think.
We could.
Obviously, we don't want to go on for hours. You can definitely have a part two, I could tell you that.
But, my pleasure.
Seeing as that we're coming to like the last 10-15 minutes.
Sure.
I just want to like see if we could talk to everyone about like what you're doing now. And so I want to put out there your college setting and how people can get involved in this.
Right. Well, look, I've got a whole college of the mind that I created. So there's a website. So if they put my name in, Carol Sayo, my website will come up. Then you can choose which subject you're into. So if people just want to learn ordinary psychology, which is good to have a grounding in ordinary course psychology, you can do courses. You can take self-study courses from my website. Or I've put so much free stuff out into public domain. You can read articles. I've written 3 books. They're on my website, also on Amazon. Just gone on Kindle. My YouTube channel, all free stuff. So depending on what, you know, if you like forensic psychology, I talk about the mind at that level. But if you like spirituality, I've just got a whole section on that. So I think I've got 70 videos. So this is all free for people. And well, as part of the contract with the angel, you see, that's why I'm quite comfortable, because I think, yeah, you know, if he comes back with that clipboard, I can say, right, I went back, I did exactly what we said, that I put a whole legacy free, paid out of my own money to put it on. I never got given a penny from anybody. Ever. Everything came out of my pocket, or I built it. I pushed every single button, and I did it all for other people, because when you have that conversation with that angel, you don't go back on it. I'm glad I didn't. I made the right choice.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good of you though. Like you created all this by yourself, because I've seen like how big, I've seen on your website and stuff, how big it actually is. And obviously, you're a lecturer at universities.
Well, I based my college at the university, and it's quite funny actually, Dan, because I taught the very things right under their noses that they wouldn't let me write up as a PhD. But I don't think many people know I never got paid for any of it. So 20 years of contribution to humans. You know, some people think, oh God, she's full of herself, and who does she think she is, and she's so arrogant. But we're talking the truth tonight, and the truth is I was given none of it. I had to build my own website. I wrote those books and published them, and all of that money came out of my pocket, my own pocket. So, but you know what, it's great to have this opportunity, because why did I do all of that? Or because I had a near-death experience, and And I know that when I go next time, it will be a real blessing.
Well, I don't really know what to say after that. I think this is a brilliant way of just ending it. And then obviously for everyone listening as well, I'm going to put all the descriptions of how you can get in contact with Carol and how you can get involved and everything all in the description on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and I'll put it all up in on my Instagram and TikToks and stuff like that as well. So yeah, Carol, I just want to say thank you again. And I'm probably sure we're definitely going to be having you back on.
Let's do it, Dan. Well, maybe, if people get in touch with you, ask some questions and let's discuss what is it I can help them out with? What can we discuss to share? If people are feeling isolated or weirded out, ping you perhaps some questions and then we'll happily help out our fellow human beings.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. Well, yeah, Carol, you have a good night.
You too. It's been a pleasure.
And you take care of yourself.
Speak with you soon, Dan. Take
Yeah,
care.
bye-bye.